We're going to begin here on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah that we brought from Tamid in yesterday's daf, which is V'korin Aseret HaDibrot Shema V'ayayim Shema V'ayomer Emet V'yatziv V'avuda U'birkat Kohanim. The Gemara wants to understand why is it that in the Mikdash they read Aseret HaDibrot, yet outside of the Mikdash we don't have that practice to read the Aseret HaDibrot. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Af Bigvulim Bikshu Likrot Kein. Even outside of the Mikdash, they wanted to read Aseret HaDibrot. Elek shukvar bitnu mipnei taromat aminim. They eliminated it from davening because of the claims of the non-believers. And as Rashi points out here, shelo yamru amei haaretz, they shouldn't tell the amei haaretz, ein shara Torah emet. The rest of the Torah is not really true. It's just v'teidu she'en korin elo ma'ash amar kodesh baruch hu, shem'o mipiv b'sinai. That they only read in davening those parts of the Torah that really came from God. The rest of the Torah doesn't come from God, but the particular place where it was brought from Sinai, that they do read in davening. So the idea being, they don't want to assign significance to any part of the Torah in particular, because people then claim that that significance indicates that it is more important or different than the remainder of the Torah. And now we'll have a number of memrot that say the same thing, which is Tanya Rami Ochi. We have a braita that affirms that. Rabbi Natan Omer Bikvulim Bikshu Likrot Kein Elishkvar Batlum Mipnei Taromat Aminim. Again, they wanted to institute the reading of Aseret HaDibrot outside of the Mikdash, but they did not, or they eliminated it because of the fear of the claims of the Minim. Rabbi Barachana Sarah Lemikvinu Bisura. In Surah, he wanted to add it into davening. Amar Lai Rav Chista Kvar Bitlum Mipnei Taromat Aminim. And Meima had the same story. So in both these cities, they wanted to institute saying Aseret HaDibrot, and then they had a response from another Amora that said that we can't do that because the problem already arose in the earlier generations, and they did not allow it. They nullified that practice because of the problems that can arise from assigning particular significance to a portion of the Torah. What's interesting on this is that there's actually a tshuva to Rambam. The Rambam received a question from the Chachmei Lunil with regards to whether, when we read the Torah and we get to Parshat Yitro, should the tzibur stand up when the chazan reads the Aseret HaDibrot in the Torah? And the Rambam quotes our Gemara over here and responds and says, no, if you stand up for the Aseret HaDibrot when reading the Torah, you'll have the same problem that you have by adding them into davening. Just like if you add them into davening, you are assigning particular significance to that portion of the Torah, which will bring people to think that it's different. So too, if you have the tzibur stand up for Aseret HaDibrot, it will assign to it a particular significance which would differentiate it from the rest of the Torah, and then people will look at it differently or speak about it differently as compared to the rest of the Torah. So Rambam respects that they should eliminate the practice of standing up during the Aseret HaDibrot. And there were many shuls that followed that practice of the Rambam. Others, where they do stand up for Aseret HaDibrot, the ways to solve that problem are to stand up not just for the Aseret HaDibrot, but rather for that entire Aliyah. If you start from the beginning of the Aliyah, then you're not assigning particular significance to that portion, but rather to that Aliyah, which has aspects beyond the Aseret HaDibrot in it, and then people will be less likely to assign particular significance to it. In the Torah, we actually have two sets of trup, two sets of cantations that are assigned to the Aseret HaDibrot. We have what's called Tam HaElyon and Tam HaTachton. And if you look carefully at them, the Tam HaElyon and Tam HaTachton basically divide up the Aseret HaDibrot differently. The Tam HaTachton, which is found in the Chumashim, divides it up into Psukim. The Tam HaElyon, which is used when we lean it in the Tzibur in public, that Tam HaElyon divides up the Aseret HaDibrot into Dibrot. And that every Pasuk is a single Dibra. And so it goes to great lengths to create Trup, that makes it basically almost like a run-on sentence so that you can get each Dibra be a separate entity. Now, there were different minhagim in different communities, whether to read Tam HaElyon every time we read the Aseret HaDibrot, both in Yitro and Et Hanan, as well as on Shavuot. There are other cities where the practice was only to add the Tam HaElyon when they leaned it on Shavuot. And Rav Soloveitchik explained that the reason for this is the Tam HaElyon is to simulate, or for us, what transpired at Har Sinai. To receive the Torah like it was at the time of Sinai, the Aseret HaDibrot. And therefore, the practice of standing up for the Aseret HaDibrot is to again simulate the Har Sinai. The Gemara tells us in the olden days when they were strong enough, they used to stand up when they learned, because Kenanin Tehinata Mis Sinai, that they wanted to learn Torah the way it was given at Sinai, with the people standing. The Gemara also relates that Shabib Rada, trembling and in fear, just like when they stood at the foot of Sinai. But there's this idea of not only reading those portions of the Torah, but having those portions of the Torah simulate that which took place at Har Sinai. And so therefore the standing up is not to assign particular significance to that portion, but rather to commemorate an event or simulate the event of Har Sinai. And therefore, those that had the practice only to read the Tam Elyon on Shavuot would only stand up when it was Shavuot. For Parshat Yitro and Tchanan, when they read Tam HaTachton, they shouldn't stand up, because that is not simulating what took place at Sinai if you're reading it Kipsukim and not Kidibrot. Our practice, and I think the practice in many shuls, is to read the Tam Elyon for all instances of the Aseret Dibrot, that's in Parshat Yitro, Tchanan, and on Shavuot. And therefore, based on that reasoning, you would stand up for all three of those situations. Again, to avoid the problem of the Rambam, or what's found in our Gemara here, then you can either stand up for the whole Parsha, which might be valuable in and of itself, but if you don't, then standing up at least for that Aliyah might mitigate some of that problem. Gemara says, Shabbat Musafim Bracha Achat Mitzmar Yotze, continuation of that Mishnah and Tamid, that on Shabbat they used to add on an additional Bracha for the Kohanim, who were changing shifts. So the shift that was leaving gave a bracha to the shift that was entering. My bracha achat, what was this bracha? Am rechavo mishmar yotze, omer the mishmar nichnas. The mishmar that was leaving says the one that was entering, the change in the shift, mi sheshachan et shemo b'bayit hazeh, the one who has placed his name, has name dwells in this house, meaning the mikdash. Hu yashkin b'nechem ava v'achva v'shalom v'reyut. He should have dwelled between you, love, brotherhood, peace, and friendship. So you see I think this is an important message that the Kohanim were coming up to do the Avodah in the Mikdash, which is very focused on Ben Adam LeMakom, between man and God. There's a tendency when one is very focused on the mitzvot of Ben Adam LeMakom to negate or diminish the need for mitzvot Ben Adam LeChaveiro. And we see stories like that in the Gemara. The Mishnah and Yoma describes how the Kohanim lost perspective on how to treat each other because they were so Chared al Dvar Hashem. They were trying to run up the Mizbeach. They wanted to be first. They wanted to do the Avoda. And because of that, they lost the sensitivity to other people. And here's the bracha that Mishmar gives to the Mishmar comes in, is that despite the fact that you're now entering into a mode of Ben Adam L'Makom, that the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro should not be diminished, that the Avodat Hashem should not be done at the expense of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And therefore, paramount to that is the idea of Ava v'achva v'shalom v'reyut. And only that way can they present the proper face to Hashem and come for Hashem to do the avodah Hashem. And that's what the Nevi'im speak about. The Torot that we read and in Tisha B'Av itself, the problem that the Navi describes in the beginning of Yirmiyahu, the beginning of Yishayahu, is that Hashem is not interested in the avodah Hashem when there is no Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And so Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is almost a prerequisite to Ben Adam L'Makom, and we see that through this bracha. This is the first bracha that they got entering into the Avodat Hashem. Makom Shemul Arich. The Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says, I know for sure, Heichad Nakid Kasad Chamer Biyadei. It's only a cup of wine in his hand. Because Kasavre De Shichrahu, and he thought it was beer. So we know the bracha on wine is Borei Pri Agofen. The bracha on beer is Shehakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Upatach umavarech adayta deshichra. He begins the bracha baruch ata Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, thinking that it is beer. That means that he thinks he's going to end shakol neibiro. Suddenly he realizes that he does not have beer but rather wine. B'siyem b'dechamro, and he ends boru priya gofen yatsa. Therefore, sure he's yotzei the bracha. Din ami omar shakol neibiro yatsa. Had he said shakol neibiro, say he'd never changed his thinking and said shakol neibiro on the wine, he would have been yotze, the hatznan. We have a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, kulam, imamar shakol neyevit vero, yetza. On anything that you're supposed to make a birkat hanenin, a bracha, for something that you're going to get hana from, if you say shakol neyevit vero, which is the generic bracha, then you are yotze. Even though the proper bracha is bari priyogofen, bidyeved, if you use shakol neyevit vero, which is the all-encompassing, generic, common denominator bracha, then you'd be yotze. So therefore, since you made the mistake with regards to Sharakol, and then switched over the bracha, proper bracha bari priya gofen, you for sure are yotze. Question is, Elohecha, the kanokit kasa de shichru biyade. Question arises when he's holding beer in his hand. Because savar de chamru, that he thinks that he has actually wine in his hand. So he begins the bracha, baruch, ata Hashem, elokeinu melech haolam, thinking it is wine. And then he ends, She'akol ne'yeh bidvaro, which is the proper bracha, because he is holding beer. Mai, what's the din here? Batar ikar bracha azlina. Do we go after the focal part of the bracha, which is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, giving praise to Hashem? And over there, he made a mistake. He thought it was wine and not beer. Oh, batar chatim azlina. Do we go after how he ended? He ended she'akol ne'yeh bidvaro, which is the proper bracha. Over here, you don't have what we had before, which is that he began thinking it was Bori Priya Goffin. If you ended Bori Priya Goffin and you were drinking beer, it is not a brocha that you could be yotze with. But even Bidiyevet, Bori Priya Goffin does not help for beer. So we do not have that same dispensation we had in the previous case. And the Gemara wants to know, what do we focus on? Do we focus on the major part, the ikar part of the brocha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, where he had the wrong dot? And therefore, he's not yotze the bracha. Or do we say, in the end, he said, she'akol ne'yeh bidvaro, which is what he was supposed to say, and therefore he's fine. The Gemara says, tashma, I'll bring you a proof, and the reason that this is found here is because it involves our Mishnah. Shachrit patach b'yotzer or, siyem b'mariv aravim. In the morning, if he began the bracha of yotzer or, vorech oshech, he began yotzer or, and then siyem b'mariv aravim, and then he continues on to say, the bracha of mariv aravim, lo yatza. In that case, you're not yotze. Because the proper bracha is Yotzer Or. Potach b'mariv aravim. When he was saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, he thinks he's going to say mariv aravim. You see him be Yotzer Or. Instead, he continues on with the bracha of Yotzer Or, Vorech Oshech, Yatza. In that case, he is Yotze Arvit. Now we move on to the evening time. Potach b'mariv aravim. Said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam b'mariv aravim, thinking that it's going to be that bracha of Yotzer Or. Instead, he switches the bracha of Yotzer Or, lo Yatza. Then he's not Yotze. Potach b'Yotzer Or. On the other hand, at night, if he starts out with Yotzer Or, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, think he's going to say Yotzer Or, Siyem, and then he continues on with the bracha, Mariv Aravim, then he's Yatza. Kol Osho Davar, the general principle you can draw from here is, Kol Oleich Achar Chotom, goes after the conclusion. If you conclude properly, then you are fine. Where it says, Shani Otam, Tekamar Baruch Yotzer Meorot. Over there, it's a bracha Aruka, it's a long bracha, and the first bracha, the Birkat Kriyashma, has an opening bracha, as well as a closing bracha. You start out, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Vorei Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvrei Hakol. And you conclude that bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Ameorot. So the Gemara is suggesting here the fact that you started with the wrong machshava and then switched over to the right machshava. The reason that works in this instance is because of the conclusion of the bracha, which is Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Ameorot. So in the concluding bracha, you did it completely right. And that can rectify what you did in the beginning bracha. So don't bring me an example from that to our case of Shichra when he's holding the beer and he starts out with a bracha Bori Priya Goffin and switch to Akol Ne'yeh Bidvaro. Because over there, there's no rectification. There's no other bracha that's going to rectify what happened up front. Where it says, wait, that's true about the concluding bracha, Hanicha the Rav. That works well according to Rav. Damar kol bracha shem ba'az karat Hashem, eno bracha shapir. According to Rav, who says the qualification to be called a bracha is that you mention Hashem's name. So over here, you do mention Hashem's name when you say Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Ameorot. So there, you mention Hashem's name. That's a bracha. That bracha can override or rectify the beginning bracha. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, Damar kol bracha shem ba'malchut ein bracha. In order to be classified as a bracha, not only do you need Baruch Atah Hashem, the name of Hashem, but Melech Haolam, Malchut, his kingship needs to be mentioned over he qualifies a bracha. Ma'ika le'meimar. Over here, you can't say that Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Ameorot is a rectification of the beginning bracha, because the latter bracha is not a bracha, according to Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't have Melech Haolam in it. Ella, keben damar Rabbi Ula, kedei daskir midat yom balayla, midat layla biyom. So, because we mentioned before this requirement to mention the day during the night, and the night during the day, that's why we say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, as well as the night, we say Golel Or Mipnei Choshech, V'choshech Mipnei Or. So you have to mention both aspects, both the day of night. Ki kamar bracha malchut mikara tarvayu kamar. So in the beginning, when you open the bracha, you're opening the bracha with the consideration of Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, or Golel Or Mipnei Choshech, Choshech Mipnei Or. You have in mind to mention both the Choshech and the Or. And therefore, if you had in mind to say the wrong bracha, you started out thinking you're going to say Mariv Aravim, and then you switch and realize you're going to say Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, that's not really considered to be a switch. Because topically, thematically, both were encompassed in the original bracha. When you say the bracha of Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, you're mentioning both night and day, because that's the theme of the bracha. So therefore, if you have in mind to start with the wrong, say we're in the daytime, he starts with the thoughts of Mariv, still when he ends with Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, that's fine, because thematically, you really haven't left the core of the bracha, even when you had in mind in the beginning to say Mariv Aravim. Rebbe says, okay, we don't have an answer to our question then. Tashma, let us learn it out. Yisefa. From the latter half of that bracha, Klolo Shodavar, Kol Olecha Char Chatom. Everything goes after the conclusion. Klolo Shodavar, Letu Yemai. What is this klal? What is this principle at the end of the Mishnah come to include that was not already obvious from the first part of the Mishnah? Lav the Turi Had Amran. Isn't it coming to include our case? Case where he starts out saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking it's Borei Pri HaGafen, and ends out, Shakol Niyeh Bid Varo. So since you ended correctly, that's all that matters. Lo, Gemara says, Latuya Neema Vitamre. That klal of Devar comes to include a case when you have a case of bread and dates. Hey Chidami, what's the case here? Ilayim Da'achal Neema, he ate bread. Because Savar Da'tamre Yachal, and he thought that he ate dates. Upatach Adaita Da'chamre. When he says the bracha achrona, he thinks that he's saying a bracha achrona for dates. And then he realizes all along that he really didn't have dates, but rather bread. And then he concludes the bracha as being benching. Hanubayin, that's exactly our question. So over here, where he begins the bracha achrona, saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking that he's going to say the bracha main shalosh on dates, which is ala eitz, vel priya eitz, vel tureta zedah. He starts out the bracha thinking that. And then as soon as he gets to Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, he realizes, oh, no. Azana told him, Kolo B'tuvol. Says, no, I need to bench. I don't need to say Baruch Amein Shalosh. He switches over. So if that's the case that you're including from Zeh Klal, that's exactly our question. Our question is, again, where you began the bracha thinking with something else and conclude with the proper bracha. So over here, that would be this similar case. If that's what the klal is including, then we have an answer to our question. Where it says, lo, tzricha, we need it for something else. Gigon do'ochel tamre, v'kasavar nema achal. And he thinks that he ate bread. Patach v'nema, then he begins the bracha, baruch atah Hashem, l'kenu mechalom, think he's going to bench. V'siyem de'batamre. And then he ends off with dates, saying, ala eitz v'al priya eitz. Yatza. Over here is yotze. Tafilu siyem v'nema, nami yotze. Because even if he had benched, he would have been yotze. My time, Tami nami mezen zayne. Dates are considered to be an integral part of a meal. They are sustaining and satisfying. And therefore, if one benched on dates, it would not be out of place, it would not be an incorrect assignment of the word azanatolom globa tubo to use the term zan with regards to dates and not just what bread. So again, what now we've done is created or recreated what we had in the beginning of the Gemara, which was pshita to us. Speak to us that if you began the bracha thinking with shakol and then you end with pri hagafen, it works because even the shakol would not have been inappropriate for the wine. So too over here, where you begin thinking that you're going to bench, and in the end you switch and say, oh no, I have to do al eitz val pri eitz. Nevertheless, that beginning with benching was not out of place or inappropriate because it might be okay to bench on dates because they have this unique property of being zan. Now the Gemara leaves it inconclusive. So what do you do when the Gemara leaves something inconclusive? So the Tosafot quotes from the Rav Alfas, the Rif, Safek Brachot HaHakel, and therefore we're going to go the Kula. Since the Gemara does not address this issue, we're going to go the Kula and say that you do not have to repeat the Bracha in that case. On the other hand, Tosafot quotes from the Ri, that he used to say, L'chumra, you have to go the Chumra. So the Gilyan HaShas, Rabbi Kiba Eger, asked right away, what do you mean you go the Chumra? We know that there's a principle of Safek Brachot HaHakel, so why would you ever go the Chumra over here? Answer is the Rabbi Kiba Eger, that when we say Safek Brachot DeHakel, that's by Birkata Mitzvot. Bracha that you say before the Mitzvot, because that is, number one, rabbinic in nature, and number two is not Me'akev the Mitzvah. It does not stop you from performing the Mitzvah. Even if you do the Mitzvah without the Bracha, it's still a Mitzvah. And so therefore, we're over there, we're going to say Safek Brachot DeHakel. Over here, by Birkata Ne'anin, that's not the case. If one does not make a Bracha, we're going to see later on in Ketzad Mevarchim, it's as if he stole from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In order to eat or be able to partake of these foods or this hana, you must first ask permission from Hashem. And if you don't ask permission from Hashem, you are stealing from Hashem. So over here, you can't say, Safek Bracha DeHakel. Well, it's okay. If you don't make the bracha, you'll just be stealing. That doesn't work. Over here, you don't have that sad kula that says everything's fine if you don't make the bracha. Over here, it's not fine. If you don't make the bracha, it's as if you stole or you're mo'el with regards to the material world that Hashem provided you. Therefore, over here, we would pass in the Chumrah to say that in this instance, you will have to repeat the Bracha. Since the Gemara was not conclusive about it, it would seem that we go the Chumrah and you'd make the Bracha in cases where you have this mix-up. Tosafot also points out from the Rach that, for instance, if you remember Toch Kedei Dibur when you said the wrong Bracha and you switch it to the right Bracha, that's fine. That's okay over there. And similarly, if you're davening on Yom Tov, and instead of saying Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, you say Mekadesh Shabbat, and then Toch Chedei Dibur, you switch it back to Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, that is fine. That really derives from something that's said later on in the Tosafot, which is, one of the Balei Tosafot, I read Rabbi Yaakov Meginun, how could it be that the Brocha, if you have the Kavana to say the wrong Brocha, then you end up saying the right Brocha, why should it matter at all? We know, we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, mitzvot, ein tzrichot kavana. Mitzvah do not require kavana. So over here, where you're doing the mitzvah of bracha, if you add the wrong kavana, it shouldn't be problematic, because we don't even need kavana. And the Ri answers and distinguishes. He says, that's true. If you don't have anything in mind. If you have stam, you have your mind doesn't know, you just assume you're saying whatever you're supposed to say. In that case, mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana, and ain't tzrichot kavana, you don't have to worry about it. On the other hand, if you have negative kavana, active negative kavana, that is problematic, and that's what's happening over here. Had you just said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam in the generic statement, you don't even think about what bracha you're going to end with, then it's fine. Because there, mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana. On the other hand, if you make that bracha with kavana specifically to be, in our case, Bori Pri Agafen, when you're supposed to be making a shakol ne'eh bidvaro, that could undermine the bracha. And so you have to differentiate in these cases between active kavana and passive kavana, which is that when you're passive, we don't ask you to be mekavin to the right thing, and you're yotzei because mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. And then if you have active kavana and you have the wrong active kavana, that will undermine your ability to have the principle of mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana apply to you, since you took that away by having active negative kavana. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabba Bar Chinina or Chanina Saba Mishmei Derav. So now we're going to have a series of memrot from Amar Rabba Bar Chinina or Chanina Saba Mishmei Derav. Kol Shlo Amar Emet Yatziv Shacharit Ved Mit Vumuna Arvit Lo Yatza Yedei Chuvato. When it comes to Kriyat Shema, the concluding brocha after Kriyat Shema in the morning is Emet V'Yatziv, and at night is Emet V'Emuna. And if you didn't say them, you were not Yotzei Shinamar. Because we talk about Hashem's chesed in the morning, and we talk about emunah at night. As Rashi points out, that the emet v'yatziv is full of chesed. It's a description of all the wonderful things that Hashem did for our forefathers. He took us out of Mitzrayim, he split the yamsu for us, ve'virum. And then, brachet emet munah at night is all about the future. Saying that Hashem, like He took care of us, He will take care of us. He defends us against our enemies. He takes away all evil and bad or people that are thinking bad about us. Emunah at night, which is the trust in Hashem that Hashem will take care of us. And Chesed in the morning is to praise Hashem for the fact that He took care of our forefathers and He brought us to this point. And therefore, thematically, Emet V'Yatziv is the morning bracha. Emet V'Emunah is the evening bracha. Tosafot brings an alternative to explanation, which is based on the Midrash Rabbah and Eicha, Hadashim Libkarim Rabbah Emunatecha, that in the morning, and this is why we say Modeani in the morning, the idea that in the morning we get our neshama back, it's as if there was a Tchiyat HaMeitim. So there, so Adam Aminu Mafkid Rucho Biyado Machzira Below Yigia. The Emunah at night is that we give over our neshamot to Hashem to watch on our behalf, and He returns them in the morning, and we don't have to make any effort. So that idea of emunah at night is that we trust that Hashem will take care of us at night, that we sleep and then we'll awaken the next morning. And that's why we have emunah at night. And the chesed that we mention is that after He's done that for us, in the morning we have the baboker chazdecha, because Hashem does that chesed returning to us in the morning. The other thing to note over here is that Tosfot says that the brach of yatzi v'nachon v'kayam that is found in the morning tefillah after davening, over there we have a number of accolades that are given. So it says that they don't refer to Hashem. Don't think that all those praises that are after Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emet, then we say V'yatziv, V'nachon, V'kayam, V'yashar, those are not descriptors of Hashem, but rather Al Adavar Hazeh, concluding line there, which is that we are happy and all of these things are true. Al Adavar Hazeh, what's the Adavar Hazeh? That God is, Hashem is our God. So those accolades are not for direct praise of Hashem, but rather our affirmation and acceptance of the fact that God is the true God. And in a sense, that is the Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim. And that might be the statement of Rabbah, that might be what the Gemara is after over here. When we quote the Psukim of Shema Yisrael, Ba'avta Vayayim Shemoa, they are words of Torah that were said from Hashem to us. And the Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim really only comes after we've completed the three parshiyot of Kriyat Shema, then we affirm that by saying, Yatziv, V'nachon, V'kayam, V'yashar, all of those words that affirm and accept that fact that Hashem is our God. So the true Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim takes place at that point in time, and that's why it's so fundamental to have that afterwards. Lo Yatza, you're not Yotzei, unless you say these tefillot afterwards. Okay, now we have additional memrot, which is Amar Rabbechina Saba Mishmei Derav Mitpalel Kashu Korea. When a person is bowing down in Tfilah, Korea beBaruch, you bow down in Baruch, and then Ushuzokeif Zokeif Hashem. And when you become upright, you come upright with the Shem Hashem. So the proper way to bow down is Baruch, from the word Berech, the knees. So one bends their knees at Baruch. The Ata, a person folds themselves over to bow down.
The complete submission of the individual when he switches to the second person of Ata.
And then Zokeif Bashem. They upright themselves. They stand up with the Shem Hashem. They come upright again. So Amar Shmuel, my time with the Rav, what's the reason behind the Rav's explanation like this? Dichtiv. Hashem Zokeif Kifufim. Hashem is the one who straightens up those that are bent over.
And from my name, you will be afraid or fearful. But the Gemara here is losing the word nachat, also means to rest or go down. So from my name, you will go down, not go up.
So where it says Miktiv Bishmi, it doesn't say with my name, it says Mipneishmi, because of my name, Ktiv. Meaning that the fear of Hashem will cause one to bow down or lay down. But when it doesn't say, Bishmi, with my name, you must bow down. Oh, with my name, Hashem, Zokif Kufufim, then we come upright. Amalei Shmuel Lechir Barav. Shmuel says to Rav son Chia, Bar Urian. So here, Bar Urian, it's not clear, but that means, you know, the son of a Talmud Chacham, or it's his name. Ta'im Melchom Miltom Al Yoto. Let me tell you something great. Amar Avucha, that your father said, Rav. Da'achi Amar Avucha. This is what your father said. Kishu Korea, Korea Baruch. When you bow down with Baruch. Zokeif, Zokeif B'Shem. And when you upright yourself, you do it with the Shem Hashem. Rav Sheshet, Ki Kara. Rav Sheshet, when he bowed down, Kara Kechizra. Bow down like a staff. Kizokif, when he got up, Zokif Kechivya, he got up like a snake. And here again is to show one's submission before Hashem. So when you bow down quickly. You bend your knees, and then you push your body down quickly. On the other hand, when you're uprighting yourself, when you bring yourself back up to the vertical position, you come up slowly. You bend, bring up your head first, and then you slowly bring your back up, like a snake. A snake who brings its head up first, and then slowly brings its body up to where the head is. Do that to show your submission before Hashem. You go down quickly, and you come up slowly to show that it's not a masui. It's not something that is too much for you to bow down, but something that you do out of love and submission before Hashem. And so that is the proper way to bow down. And as Tosfot points out here, it's not good enough just to bow down and bring your back down. One must bend their head down. Kafuf rosho. You must bend your head down. You can't go down and have your head sticking up like a turtle. That is not called bowing. Bowing is when your head also submits along with your body. And then you upright yourself, you do bring your head up first, and then the back up slowly, but that's only on the way up. When in the bowing position, you go down entirely. He says you don't bow down too much, don't go over too far, because that's also not appropriate or not a sign of submission. So now the Gemara continues, another memra from Amar Rabbi Bar Chinina Sava Mishmei D'Rav. Kol Hashana Kulo Adam Mitpalel Akel HaKadosh, and Melech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat, like our practice, to end the brachot in Shemoneh Esrei, the bracha of Atah Kadosh with Akel HaKadosh. Then the bracha of Shiva Shofteinu with Melech Leib Tzedakah Mishpat. Chutz, the exception that is Asara Yomim, Sheben Rosh Hashanah Le Yom HaKippurim, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shemitvalel HaMelech HaKadosh, in that time period you conclude the bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh, VeHaMelech HaMishpat. And they also, the bracha of Melech Leib Tzedakah Mishpat, you change to HaMelech HaMishpat. So we do that because, in a sense, it's Kein HaMe'ora. You're supposed to identify within that tefillah the nature of the day that you're, or the nature of the days that you're found in. And since we know that during those days of Asar Yamim, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Hashem is found close to us, is present with us. Therefore, it's appropriate to say HaMelech, and to address Hashem as the King. First of all, Rosh Hashanah, where we coronate the King, but also where He is present right in front of us. So we address Him as HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Afilo Amar, Akel HaKadosh Yatza. That even though you're supposed to say HaMelech HaKadosh, if by accident you said Akel HaKadosh Yotze, Shene Amar, Vayba Hashem Tzvakot B'Mishpat, Vayel HaKadosh Nikdash B'Tzdaka. So it says Hashem is Vayba, great, B'Mishpat, in His judgment, Vakel HaKadosh, and that holy God is Nikdash B'Tzdaka, is made holy through His generosity, through His
benevolence.
Eimatai Vayba Hashem Tzvakot B'Mishpat. What time of year is Hashem great in His judgment? V'kamar, and the pasuk describes Him still as Akel HaKadosh. So based on that, he says you could conclude the bracha Akel HaKadosh and still be yotze during that time period. What's interesting is that we quote this pasuk in the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, in the longer version of the bracha of Atah HaKadosh. we actually conclude the bracha with this pasuk of Vayikva Hashem Tzvako B'Mishvar Ha'el HaKadosh HaMikdash B'Tzdaka Baruch Ata Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. That's what Gemara says, my Havei Allah. What's the psak halacha here? So Amar Rav Yosef HaKel HaKadosh HaMelech HaYiv Tzdaka Mishpat. You can say those, or if you say them, you're fine. Rabbah Amar HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat. You must say HaMelech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat. V'Hilchoto K'Rabbo. The halacha is like Rabbo. And you must conclude the bracha with HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. Tosafot brings over here that, based on that, if you missed one of these items, you'd have to repeat Shemon Esrei. And not only these items, but also the additional items that we add in during that period of time, which is Zachreinu, Mikamocha, Kadveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, all those additions that we have in Shemon Esrei. If you miss any of them, you're going to have to repeat Shemon Esrei, because that's Ke'ena Me'ora. So that's the appropriate tefillah or reflection of the nature of the day. And if you don't do that, then you're not Tiyotze. Tosafot in the end backs down from him a little bit and says, well, the additions like Zachreinu, Mikamocha, Kadveinu B'Sefer HaChaim, those are later additions. And since those are only Geonic additions to the Tefillah, therefore you don't have to repeat the Tefillah. But for HaMelech HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat, you would. Our practice is only to repeat Shemon Esrei if one forgets HaMelech HaKadosh, because over there the alternative is HaKel HaKadosh, which is different. On the other hand, by Melech HaMishpat, since the bracha still contains the word Melech, even in its normal form, which is Melech Ho'ev Tzedakah Mishpat, therefore, if you made the mistake and didn't say HaMelech HaMishpat, we're not going to make you go back over there. Only for HaMelech HaKadosh we're going to make you go back. The Mishnah Brura brings down in the Shaar HaTzion, in the beginning of Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, an interesting Havamina, or Psak Halacha, which he rejects, which is that on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, if a person makes a mistake and says HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, maybe you don't have to go back in davening. And that's based on what we know from Rosh Chodesh. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, you can see that later in the Masechta. If one does not say Yalav Yovo at night time of Rosh Chodesh, they do not have to repeat Shemon Esrei. And that's based on the fact that Ein Mekadshin HaChodesh B'Laila. You're not Mekadesh the Chodesh at night. And therefore, the real time to focus on Rosh Chodesh is during the daytime. If you forget Yalav Yovo at night, you do not have to repeat Shemon Esrei. If you forget it during the day, you do have to repeat Shemon Esrei. So based on that, they want to say the same thing by Shemon Esrei on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Ein Mekadshin HaChodesh, Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate Rosh Chodesh. And since we're not Mekadesh the Chodesh until the morning, therefore, maybe if you made a mistake in davening at night, and you said HaKel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, you wouldn't have to repeat it, just like you don't have to repeat it when you forget Yalav Yovo on Rosh Chodesh. Mishmur quotes this opinion, the Shaar HaTzion, and says, Nam, we don't pass them like that. We say that even on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh, that it is Me'ina Me'ura, and it's not dependent on the Kiddush HaChodesh. But that's just an interesting Hamvamina that has brought down the Halacha. The Gemara continues, another memra, Amar Rabba Bar Chinina, Amar Rabba Bar Chinina Sa'aba Mishmei Derav, Kol She'efshol Levakesh Rachamim HaChaviro, anybody who has the ability to daven on behalf of their friend and doesn't do so is a sinner. Shenemar, Gom Anochi Chalila Li Michato LaHashem Miachdo Letfalel Badchem. Woe to me if I will sin to Hashem to withhold tefillah for you. I mean that if he did withhold the tefillah and he didn't daven on their behalf, then he would have been considered a chote. So we see from this that someone who does not daven in the place where they could daven for someone else is considered to be a sinner. Rav Soloveitchik also used to mention that it might be possibly a violation of a mitzvah d'oraita, of the requirement not to stand idly by while your friend is in danger. There's a requirement for a person to save a person if they have the ability to do so. And so just like that's true in the physical world, if someone's in danger and you can take a small amount of risk and save them, that you should do so. So too in the spiritual world, if you have the ability to daven and to act on behalf of your friend and you don't do that, you might be in violation of that daraita of standing idly by while your friend is in danger. The Gemara continues now, Amarava im Talmud Chachamu. So our Gemara, the way we have the Girsa here, it sounds like if he's a Talmud Chacham, Tzarech Sheikh Le'atzmo Alav, then the Talmud Chacham has to sicken himself over his friend. I mean, that's the nature of a Talmud Chacham, that he doesn't just think about himself, but he thinks more broadly of the klal as a whole. And therefore he has to sicken himself over this issue. But the girsa that Rashi has, and the Bach also brings the girsa, it's the other way around, which is, im tam chachachom hu vitzarich l'rachamim. They add in those two words. If he's a tam chachachom and requires tefillah, tzarech shiach l'atzmo alav, then everybody else has to sicken themselves on behalf of the tam chachachom. That this is a requirement to the people to support the tam chachachom, in the sense that since he is so important to the klal and to the tzibor, that every member of the tzibur has to sicken themselves to make sure that they daven on his behalf. So my time, what's the reason? Ilei mishum dechtiv ein chule mikem alai begolei etozni.
Sha'ol is bemoaning to his servants that when it came to David rebelling against him and making a covenant with his son Yonatan, that none of you disclosed this information. None of you care that I get sick or anything bad that happens to me. None of you are taking interest in it. Implying that that's what they should have been doing. They should have been taking interest in Sha'ol.
Dilma, Melech Shani, maybe over there, the king is different. Elamayocha, it's from here. V'ani b'chalutam levush.
Shisak, anitim b'tzom nafshi u'tfilati al-chekit ashuv. David HaMelech says that even though others did not do for him this, but he, when they were sick and my clothing was sackcloth, I afflicted my soul with fasting. David saying that he took to heart when other people were in trouble. And especially Talmidei Chachamim.
Right now, another memra. Amar Rabba v'chinam es ava mishmei d'rav. Kol osed d'var aviram mitbayesh bo. Someone does something wrong, does a sin, and then is embarrassed about it. Mochlim lo akol v'natav. They forgive him of all his sins. More likely, the formulation is that they forgive him for that sin. That sin is forgiven if he's embarrassed about it, meaning that he takes it to heart. The idea of being embarrassed is that a person realizes that they've done something wrong, and they most likely want to rectify it to say sorry. Embarrassment is a sign of regret and remorse. If a person is not embarrassed about it, doesn't feel bad about it, then a person is not regretful, is not remorseful. First of all, they won't do tshuva. And number two is they don't really feel bad about what they did. So the busha is an indication of the person's relationship with the tzivoy Hashem. And therefore, if they're embarrassed, that brings kapara to them. Shnemar, l'man tizkeri.
Vavosht, v'lo yeh lach od pitchon peh mipnei klimateich, b'kofri lach l'chol asher asit ne'um Hashem Elokim. You'll remember and be ashamed, and never open up your mouth anymore because of your shame when I've forgiven you for all that you have done, says Hashem. So you see that that embarrassment is correlated with the forgiveness that Hashem provides to Bnei Israel.
When it says, Dilma Tzibur Shaini, maybe over there it's because it's the Tzibur, so that's why they are afforded that protection when they're embarrassed. Elama Ocha, how do we know it's true by the individuals? V'yom Shmuel Sha'ol, Lama Hir Gaztani Lalututi. This is when Sha'ol goes to the Isha Balat Ov, in order to find out what's going on with the battle with the Plishtim, and they bring up Shmuel from the dead, and Shmuel asks him, what do you do? Why did you cause me this problem to bring me up? I'm in a lot of difficulty, I'm in pain. It's a massive war that's going on between us and the Plishtim. And God has left me. And he's not answering me. He doesn't answer me anymore. Whether it's through the Navi, whether it's through a dream, and I'm calling you to find out what to do. Why does he mention that he's not getting answered through the Kohen Gadol, through the Urim V'Tumim? Since Sha'ul had killed out the city of Kohanim, and he was embarrassed to mention the Urim V'Tumim, because Shmuel might respond to him and say, you know why the Urim V'Tumim doesn't answer you? It's because of what you did to your Novir HaKohanim. So since he was embarrassed about it, he was forgiven. Magamara says, how do you know he was forgiven? And Shemaya, how do you know that they really did forgive him? We know that he's embarrassed about it now, but we don't know that he was forgiven. Shneamar, because it says later on in Sefer Shmuel, this is in Shmuel Bet, with David HaMelech, when there's a problem during the time of David HaMelech, and he realizes that the issue is that the Givonim were wronged, and that something has to be done in order to rectify that situation with the Givonim, in order that this difficulty will leave Klal Yisrael. So he goes to the Givonim and asks them, what's the issue? The Givonim were displaced because they were suppliers to the Kohanim in Novi Era Kohanim. And after Sha'ul destroyed Novi Era Kohanim, the Givonim were left without a livelihood. And so they were left in a very difficult situation. So they want retribution taken against Sha'ul. And that's basically what they say to David. We want 7 descendants of Sha'ul in order to kill them and to take revenge for that which took place by Nov Ir HaKohanim. And David acquiesces and gives them, Okanum Lashem Givat Sha'ul. They want to hang these descendants of Sha'ul in Givat Sha'ul. Bichir Hashem. But there's a descriptor that is attached to Sha'ul, which is the chosen one of Hashem. So what do you mean? The Givonim did not like Sha'ul. They had no soft spots for Sha'ul. So what do you mean? They are going to say, we're going to hang it, b'givat Sha'ul b'chir Hashem? They would never call it b'Sha'ul the b'chir Hashem. Ella, what is it? As the Gemara says, Yatza b'kat kol v'amra b'chir Hashem. B'chir Hashem is an editorial comment, meaning a bat kol, a heavenly voice comes out and says, when they say givat Sha'ul, it answers b'chir Hashem, the chosen one of Hashem. So the fact that Min HaShamayim, they describe Shaul as Bechir Hashem, shows you that he was forgiven for that sin. Amar Rabbi Bo ben Zutrati, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvida, Bikshu Likboa Parshat Balak B'Kriyat Shema. They wanted to add in, not only they have the Aseret HaDibro during Kriyat Shema, they also wanted to have Parshat Balak in Kriyat Shema. Umibnei Malo Kavua, why didn't they put it in there? Mishum Torach Tzibur, it's too long. It's huge. You're going to read Parshat Balak? That's too big. So my time, why do they want to put it in there? Ilem Mishum Dichtiv Ba, because it has mentioned it, Kel Motzi Ami Mitzrayim, that it's for Yitziat Mitzrayim, that they want to mention that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. There are other smaller Parshiot, the nicer Parshiot, you could say, Lema Parshat Ribit, Parshat Mishkalot, when it comes to the restriction against taking interest from a fellow Jew, or cheating in measurements. In both those cases, it says that Hashem, who took you out of Mitzrayim, Dichtib Ben Yitzia Mitzrayim, he's the one who's going to know when you're cheating, when you're doing what's wrong. So there you could have taken those parshiot, short parshiot, and mentioned Yitzia Mitzrayim. So that can't be the reason. Because as this pasuk in it, Kara Shachav Kari Uchlavi Miyikimenu. The description here that they will lay down like the lion, Uchlavi, and like the lion cubs, Miyikimenu, who's going to stand up against them? The alternative pasuk you see on the side of the Gemara that's brought in the Tanchuma is Hein Am Kilavi Yakum. They arise like a lion cub. Ad Yuchal Taref. I mean, continuing through the pasuk, and then they will consume all the bounty of their booty of their enemies. Both of these descriptions are Shachav and Kam, which is Bishoch Bechov Kumecha. It's a play on Kriyat Shema of the way that Bnei Yisrael are Kamim and Shukhvim, and they lay down. They lay down like the lion because they are secure with Hashem, and they get up like a lion to do the mitzvot Hashem. So it's a play on Ushach B'chav Kumecha, but a very positive spin on our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and how we lay down and we stand up. Still requires a little bit more insight as to why they wanted to add in Parshat Balak, but Parshat Balak does speak about the unique relationship of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael from a bird's eye view. And therefore, maybe they wanted to add it in to have that as part or fundamental part of Kriyat Shema, Bnei Yisrael's unique relationship with Hashem, as described in the Brachot of Parshat Balak, where it says, "V'leim ay psuka betulo." What's the big deal? Just say that pasuk, and then you won't have a problem anymore. Why do you have to say the whole parsha? Where it says, "Gemiri kol parsha the pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu paskinan." Any parsha the Moshe broke up, we break it up. Lo pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu lo paskinan. If Moshe didn't break it up, we don't break it up. The Gemara Megillah has a different saying like this, which is called psuka. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up, we don't break it up into a pasuk. We have that problem by Rosh Chodesh. We don't have enough psukim to make the aliyot. One of the opinions there is to break a pasuk in half. There, if our answer is that we don't break up psukim, then Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up. So why is it over there we only mention psukim, and over here we mention parshiot? Over there it sounds like the only problem is to break up a pasuk, not to break up a parsha. Here we're saying to break up a parsha is a problem. So the answer, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explained that there's a difference in what you're looking for. It depends what you're speaking about. When you're talking about laning the Torah, you lean psukim. So when you lean psukim, that's what aliyot are. You have a minimum of 3 psukim that have to be for an aliyah. Over there the focus is a psukim. So when you're focused on psukim, the only thing that you can't do is break up a pasuk that Moshe didn't break up. Over here when it comes to Kriyat Shema, we're looking at Parshiot. We read Parshiot, Parshat Shema, Parshat Vayayim Shema, Parshat Tzitzit. We're talking about Parshiot. And therefore, when you come to Balak, you can't break it down into Psukim. Psukim are not relevant to this type of tefillah, this type of presentation. This type of presentation is Parshiot. And therefore, the Gemara uses the terminology that you're not allowed to break Parshiot up into component parts, because Moshe didn't break them up. Because here, the demand is for Parsha. So you have to look at what the demand is for, and then understand, based on that demand, what you can do to break it down. So by laning, the demand is for psukim. So you break it down into psukim. You can't break it down less than psukim. Over here, the demand is for parshiot. So there, you can break it down into parshiot, but you can't do less than a parsha. So now Gemara says, parshat tzitzit mibnei makavua. In the end, we do choose parshat tzitzit to be in Kriyat Shema. Why do we do that? Samar Yehuda bar Chiva viva mipnei sheyesh ba chamisha dvarim. Has 5 things that make it Ra'ui to be added into Kriyat Shema. Number 1, it has mitzvah tzitzit. Number 2, is it has yitziat mitzrayim. Number 3, it has o mitzvot, the yoke of the mitzvot. Number 4, it has dat minim, issues of avodah zarah. And number 5 is, it has hirurei avera v'hirur avodah zarah. It has inappropriate thoughts about sinning and avodah zarah. So Nagamar says, okay, bishlamahani tzlat mifarshan. The first 3 are explicit. All mitzvot, the acceptance of the yoke of mitzvot, dichtiv, uritem oto, uzichartem, et kol mitzvot Hashem. It says you'll see the tzitzit and you remember all the mitzvot Hashem. Tzitzit, the tzitzit themselves, because it says, vasu lehem tzitzit. That's explicit. Yitziat mitzrayim, dichtiv. So those are explicit in the Pasha. Elo dat minim, where do we know those from? The Tanya, we have a Breitach. Lo taturu acharei levavchem, you should not go after hearts. Zuminut. That is, going after foreign gods or foreign thoughts. Chenu omer, amar naval below, ein elukim. The naval says in his heart, there is no God. So that's going after your heart. Achrei neichem, after your eyes, is zehiur arveira. That is having thoughts of doing sins. Shenemar. Vayom Shimshon el aviv. Shimshon, when he wants to take a wife, says to his father, Ota kachli, take that plishti woman. Ki yishara beinai. Because that's what I want. I want a plishti woman. I want to marry a plishti woman. So here it's clear that his eyes directed him to do the aveira. That's what he saw and he wanted. Atem zonim. What's the zonim? Zer hiru avor zera. That's having thoughts about avor zera. V'chein omer. Iznu achrei abalim. That they use the term znut to describe leaving Hashem for avor zera. Because just like via marriage, an extramarital affair is called znut. So it's over here, our marriage to Hashem, when one moves out to Avodah Zarah, that's also called Znut, and therefore the term Vayiznu is the proper terminology to describe the leaving of Hashem. Okay, we'll stop over here.